Man, this is Deion Dawkins, man. And you're listening to The Scoop on owlscoop.com. You already know.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Scoop, owlscoop.com's podcast. We are at Season 9, Episode 34. I'm John DiCarlo, owlscoop.com editor. Have a full house with us. Johnny Zawislak back in the mix. Declan Landis, Kyle Gauss, Ramir Vaughn. The whole crew is here. Happy to have them here. So much to get into today. Temple finally got on the board with a transfer portal verbal commitment, and it's a big one. Jamal Mashburn Jr. committed to Temple, actually committed on his official visit a couple weekends ago, announced that verbal commitment yesterday. On Monday, we're recording on Tuesday. There will be more to come, so we'll talk a lot of men's basketball. We're going to have part of my conversation with Jamal Mashburn Jr. Just had the chance to talk to him over the phone just before we started recording today. Terrific conversation with him. We'll have part of the interview on The Scoop here, and then owlscoop.com subscribers will get access to the full interview, so you have that to look forward to. Some women's basketball recruiting news, and then a pretty full mailbag to get to as well. So a lot of good stuff to get into this week. The Scoop, as always, is brought to you by Greenspan and Greenspan Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured while on the road or the highway and the crash was someone else's fault, the insurance company is not going to be on your side. You need us, Temple Law grads, who will fight hard to get the compensation that you deserve. We only get paid if we win. So in Pennsylvania or New York, call us today at 215-261-7359. That's 215-261-7359. And you can find them on the web at greenspans-law.com, greenspans-law.com. Thankful for their support. Guys, how's everybody doing? Johnny, good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
Are you at all the reason for this? Are the Phillies playing some bad teams right now? Yeah, they're playing some bad teams, but they're on a bit of a roll. How much of a factor are you in that?
You know, I'd like to say I'm a pretty big factor. No, I'm kidding. I'd like to say I'm a big factor in the swiftness of the games. They were pretty quick for the most part.
Yeah.
All of them under 3 hours, except the last one. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, they're playing some good baseball. It's fun.
But because you were the ball boy, bat boy for the away team, does that mean that the Phillies are playing well because you've just like negatively impacted the other teams?
No comment.
I plead the fifth.
You're making this sound a lot more sinister than it used to be.
I mean, I don't know. I think that they're playing some good baseball.
Johnny, what does plead the fifth mean?
It means I don't have to respond, right?
Because of why?
Because I don't want to.
Because you don't want to give away something that can be used to incriminate yourself, which means you did it. You did something, Johnny.
whatever you want to believe, Kyle, you know,
I hope that when you are brought in front of the grand jury, you use Greenspan and Greenspan.
Mike Greenspan's going to be your lawyer on this.
Does he do that?
I'm sure Mike's fantastic.
He has been buddy on the highway.
Mike, in addition to being a great injury lawyer, Johnny's involved in a bit of a bad boy scandal here with the Phillies.
Bad boy
scandal. Does that mean I get a deal?
Bad boy scandal.
We are, of course,
kidding.
Okay, yeah. Just want to get that point across.
Kyle's still wearing a Sixers hat. God love him.
Yeah, why wouldn't I? They should be up
to that. Is that a green and yellow? Am I going colorblind?
Yeah, it's like green and yellow. That's an alternative thing. Yeah, why wouldn't I be? They should be up 2-0. They got completely like jobbed last night.
That was brutal.
They also didn't learn how to box out still.
They shouldn't have had to. When the head coach calls a timeout 3 times with 5 seconds left, shouldn't have to worry about boxing out.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. It's draft week. You guys excited?
I am.
This is Ramir's favorite time of the year.
His favorite time of the year, draft season. It's like Christmas.
Starting to look like Jordan McGee might creep up into round 3, round 4.
Yeah, I was going to say, top of your head right now, somebody says to you, Ramir Vaughn, where does Jordan McGee get drafted? What round?
4 or 5.
4 or 5. Kyle sounds a little bit more
optimistic. No, I would agree with that. It's a weak linebacker class. I think, I think he has a chance to be a 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, which is a lot better than I would have thought 3 months ago, 4 months ago. It's a good friend.
Famous number 34s, guys.
It's a big one.
Paul Pierce.
Charles Barkley.
Walter Payton.
Johnny.
I don't got one.
I got two.
There are so many.
This is arguably the biggest number, I'd say. Because you got baseball, you got basketball, you got a lot of football.
I tried to give it to Johnny. Hakeem Olajuwon.
There's Hakeem.
Roy Holiday. Jack.
Oh, I should have got that.
That's crazy that I got that.
I should have got that.
Yeah, another very famous hard-throwing right-hander.
I'm saying I got two that I want to give trivia or like descriptions. Okay. The most overrated pitcher of all time.
The most overrated pitcher of all time? Wow.
I think you were about to just. You're not calling. I think you were about to say him.
You're not calling. Are you calling Nolan Ryan overrated?
The most overrated pitcher of all time, Nolan Ryan.
How so?
Walked more than anybody ever by any stretch of the imagination. Had led the league in wild pitches like 45 times. The only reason he has all those strikeouts is because he was just around forever. Was never the best pitcher in a league. Never won a Cy Young. Never came close to any of these things. And yet people were like 99% sure thing, first ballot Hall of Famer. Was he a Hall of Famer? Yes. Should he be mentioned in the same category as like Koufax or Maddox or anybody like that? Absolutely not.
Man.
Also pitched on some bad teams.
Compelling case.
Pitched for some bad teams? They were against some bad teams.
For some bad teams. I mean, they were fine. But he wasn't like, I don't know. I wouldn't put him in that echelon. I'll say that.
Just imagine Kyle going up to Cooperstown and just like spitting on the Nolan Ryan bus.
Never been to Cooperstown. I'll be near it in a couple months. We're doing upstate New York this summer, but never been there.
Cooperstown's beautiful. You guys gone?
I've never been, unfortunately.
I've been to upstate New York, but not Cooperstown.
Road trip.
Yeah, Al Scoop road trip.
Almost we got a lot of Al Scoop events.
I was just about to say.
Well, real quick, best potential Al Scoop events. I want to say. We do the one where we get all together and they give us like two glasses of wine and we do the painting thing that girls do for like bachelor parties.
Paint and sip.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
We'll do one of those.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
That would be a lot of fun.
Johnny, paint your feelings.
Paint my feelings? Oh, no.
Angry Johnny carrying four bags of player gear.
I have my other 34 trivia question, which John, I think you're the only one that's going to have a chance at this. There was a stretch in like the early 2000s where if you could guess which running back Mike Shanahan was going to use that year, you pretty much won your fantasy league.
Hmm.
Like there was like 5-6 straight years where it's just some random no-name dude. Man. This is one of them.
I'm not going to get it. The name's there on the tip of my tongue. I'm not going to get it.
Ruben. I have a college for him. Played at Oregon.
Ruben Amaro.
Now I'm drawing a
Ruben Drowns. Ruben Drones. You don't remember him? Never mind. If you're not going to remember him, you're not going to remember him. Ruben Drowns. Drones. I don't know how to pronounce
Ruben Drones. I think it's Drones. Yeah.
But yeah, he was the only guy.
I forgot that guy existed.
It was like him, Mike Anderson. It was like the years after Terrell Davis was like too injured to keep playing. They just rolled out random dudes and they'd get 1,500 yards.
Okay. All right. Now I remember. What about
Tatum Bell?
What about a Temple basketball player among the top five?
Mateo Piccarelli.
Well, Mateo Piccarelli does score number 34. Not a top five all-time career leading scorer. Did not play in the NBA, played professionally in Italy for quite a while. You guys have not covered him before. I'm the only person here covering him.
Hawkins?
Read a book every once in a while. David Hawkins, yeah.
Yeah. I was just going off the top five, and then people like eliminated the other people. So I was like, oh, I know those guys play in the NBA.
Well, we have Walter Payton, Nolan Ryan, Charles
Barkley. Ryan also 292 career losses. That's insane.
You said Charles Barkley.
I said Charles Barkley.
Barkley, another Charles, another NBA Charles.
Charles Oakley?
Yep.
Yeah. What about...
Wasn't they beefing because of Michael Jordan? Oakley and Barkley.
Did they have beef? Oh, yeah. They were always beefing. Those were some battles.
I mean, real life beef. I don't mean basketball beef.
Oh, probably, yeah. Yeah.
Real life beef.
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. Declan, any NASCAR guys wear number 34?
Well, they don't wear it. It's on the car.
No, sir.
There definitely is. Hold on, I'll look for you.
No, they have a little number. I mean, this goes to show you how little I know about NASCAR. Do they have like a little number patch on their?
I mean, sure, but you don't see that if they're in the car.
It's Fair enough.
The most overpaid player in the NBA wore this with a previous team.
Tobias Harris.
Yep.
Michael McDowell.
And the most notorious NBA basketball player of the last couple months.
Past couple months.
What massive scandal just happened in the NBA in the last like 2 months?
Oh, Jontay Porter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Declan, and, last one before we do this. TBT Temple legend did not play for Temple.
Oh, the big guy. Come on. Jason Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Declan, all right, you're chomping at the bit. Just it's because it's Declan, it's all about you today. It's
never
on or around the state.
No, true. But you know, thank you for joining us for another edition of Honor Around This Date. We're gonna kick it off with two birthdays, okay? Number one. Well, both very famous singers, okay? One, arguably past their prime. Not arguably. They're 81 years old. And okay. The other one, currently today, more famous for covering other people on their television show. So you could take any one of those hints and run with it.
Is the second one Kelly Clarkson?
Clarkson?
Yes.
Okay.
On this day, 1982, Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Oakey? It reminds me how talented she is. Whenever she just takes like a Billie Eilish song or something and does a cover of it, I'm like, oh yeah, you're actually like still she's a phenomenal singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's got a great voice. She's unbelievable. Got some bangers out too.
Saw her in
this other person.
I saw her in at the Camden Waterfront in like 2006. Kelly Clarkson. It was like $11 tickets. I was like, yeah, I'll go. It was great.
Steal. Arguably a steal.
81 years old.
81 years old. Prime. On this day in 1942, New York City, New York. You might have heard of it.
Cher?
No.
That's a good guess.
This person has a song named after them, and it's in Just Dance. I forget which one. By the popular group, Duck Sauce.
What?
I can't think of a single one of her songs. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
What type of music?
Old past?
I don't know how you would describe it, but I mean, it's like not pop-ish, but like, you know, she's got a great voice. Very like, you know,
a
slow
singer
song
with a great voice.
With a great voice.
Hey, there are
what a great
singers.
Baseball
they don't have a great voice, but
great
I'm trying
baseball
to say,
player
like,
can hit
like,
can
big
back.
Big songs like you know a lot of production going on. You feature her vocal talent. You know, I can't think of a single freaking song.
Barbara Streisand.
Oh,
how did you get that?
She's born in New York. Well, okay. I mean,
you know
like,
her, do you know who her stepson is? I didn't know this until like a month ago. Who her stepson is?
No.
Who? Josh Brolin. She's married to Josh Brolin's dad.
No way.
Yeah. Yep.
I had no idea.
That's awesome.
I actually just watched Dune 2 again. So he was right in it.
Wow.
Recorded a couple of songs with Barry Gibb.
There you go.
Yeah.
She was in Star is Born. She was in one of the original Star is Born, right? I think they've
remade
Star is
Born
like three times.
Yeah. No idea.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. On this day, sticking with another, you know, music type question. On this day in 1792, Claude Joseph Rouget de Lisle composed this absolute banger for France. The absolute banger song. You might have heard of it.
And what day?
1792 on April 24th.
French national anthem?
French national anthem.
All right.
That's correct.
All right.
Declan, sing the
my
French.
Questions
wait,
were
wait,
too
wait.
Easy.
Wait, also, wasn't there a revolution in France right after that? So is it still the French national anthem?
All right, let's not get down to
that. That's the French national anthem.
What year did they cut off King Louis's head?
Take it up with Britannica.
When did King Louis
die? Moving on. No, wait, because the French Revolution was definitely before the American Revolution.
No, it was not.
That was not.
That was the whole thing. Was the U.S. Oops. Didn't give aid to France after the French helped. Marie Antoinette was beheaded in 1793, so this was probably the national anthem of the rebels, the people that were rebelling.
Yeah. There you go. You're welcome. On this day in 1184 BC.
Oh man,
BC.
Just an extremely famous event in a war. Classic deception.
Trojan horse.
The Greeks enter Troy using the Trojan horse.
Classic deception.
Traditional date.
Fucking ball trick.
We're moving in, moving into sports now. This one's for Kyle. In 1966, the Atlanta Braves won an NL record of straight home games. How many games did they win?
81. They won every one that year.
No. 21.
No.
33.
A lot closer than 81.
No, I'm going to say 17.
Close. Very close.
15.
No.
19.
One no. cent. Eight. I'm going to Price is Right rules. One penny.
17 and 50 cents.
14.
No.
16.
20.
No.
18.
The previous record was 17 from Milwaukee. And then the next year,
was it also they beat their own record then? Because they were the Milwaukee Braves. They were the Milwaukee Braves before that. The Brewers weren't around yet.
It just says 17 in Milwaukee. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't look. Next time.
A couple blemishes on the record this week.
Not really.
Not knowing the Milwaukee Braves and not knowing that the French Revolution was after the American Revolution.
Doesn't matter.
It does.
In 1967, this team beat the San Francisco Warriors 4-2 to win the 21st NBA championship. You might know them.
Celtics.
Oh, in 67?
Yes.
They beat the San Francisco Warriors in 67?
Yes. That's the question.
That's a tongue twister there.
4-2 in the 21st NBA championship.
Was it the Celtics, like Kyle said?
No. You might know them.
Was it the Sixers?
Because they're right around here, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. All right.
So the Warriors
and finally
just,
on this.
So it's the Warriors had just moved out there, however, and then the Sixers field?
Yeah.
I believe so.
How about that?
And finally on this day, in 2004, this surefire first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback was drafted number one overall by the San Diego Chargers.
Eli Manning.
Elizabeth Manning.
And that was on this day.
That's one of my, like, I have like a random vivid memory of like sitting in a basement watching like him hold up the Chargers thing and all the talking heads just lose their mind. Being like, he's not going to play for them. They're going to trade.
And he did. And he didn't. Good call. Good call by him, by the way. You know?
So you just became an Eli Manning fan and now you're a Giants fan.
Yeah, I loved him. Which meant I
why were you watching were you watching Ole Miss tape? Like, why'd you love Eli Manning so
definitely
much?
Definitely not. I, to be honest, don't know. I just really loved Eli. Probably the way he carried himself, you know, the way he dominated on the field. I can't even say that with this.
You know what my favorite Eli memory is?
What's that?
I don't know if it was Sandy or Irene when there was that hurricane that hit New York, and it's just him taking photos of the subway flooding. It's just him with like his phone out, like going, like just little Eli out and about.
What a guy. But yes, I fell in love with him, and that meant I was stuck with this awful team.
There's always time to, as you say, change.
No,
you can,
no.
Eli doesn't play there anymore.
They are the best bad franchise in the NFL. Which,
yeah,
it's better than being a bad franchise. They're the best bad franchise.
That's true. When they made the playoffs the other year, that was fun.
They stumble over themselves. They make terrible decisions, and they won 2 Super Bowls in the last 17 years.
It was awesome. Beat the two of the greatest teams of all time. At least one of the greatest teams.
There you go.
Yeah, it was cool.
Anyway,
it was good.
This Temple men's basketball program got a big verbal commitment, as we said at the outset of the show, from Jamal Mashburn Jr. He committed a couple weekends ago on his official visit to Temple, announced the decision yesterday. He scored 1,629 points over the course of his last 3 seasons at New Mexico. If you're into rankings, you'll like this as a Temple fan. Rivals ranked him as a 4-star transfer recruit and the number 103 overall player in the portal. Adam Fisher and Mashburn Jr. have a relationship since Fisher extended him one of his first offers when he was on Jim Larranaga's staff. And Mashburn was a Gulliver prep before he went up to play at Brewster Academy. So a 6'2 combo guard and the son, of course, of former NBA All-Star and Kentucky star Jamal Mashburn. Again, verbally committed a couple weekends ago, helped New Mexico win the Mountain West tournament, advanced to their first tournament appearance in 10 years. And again, there will be more to come in the portal. We are probably expecting a couple of more players to announce verbal commitments to Temple this week out of the portal. What does this mean for them right now? I know it's the obvious, easy question to ask. Kyle, I'll start with you. What sort of impact does this have as Temple continues to reshape his roster?
Yeah, even before we get to the roster aspect of it, I think momentum-wise is just huge. I mean, I think from kind of the outsiders looking in, which you saw a lot of on Twitter yesterday, was people being like, oh, Temple's finally doing things in the transfer portal, even though this had kind of been brewing for a while. But from a basketball perspective, I think it gives them a plug-and-play high, mid-to-high points per game, mid-to-high teens point per game guy right off the bat next year. I mean, I think last year was a, quote, bad year for Jamal Mashburn, and he was still a 15-point guy who was a good free-throw shooter who can kind of finish at the rim when he needs to. But when he's fully healthy, when he isn't dealing with a torn ligament in his hand that he had to have surgery on, he's a legitimate three-point threat, too. So I think he is instant offense to a team that really needs it with Hysier Miller graduating and Jordan Riley, or not graduating, entering the portal, and Jordan Riley entering the portal. And I think it's just, I don't think you can understate it, to be honest. I think I put on Twitter that they added an absolute weapon, and that's how I feel. I think offensively, he's an absolute weapon that they just brought into this team.
Yeah, all last year, we kept talking about this team needs a scorer. They need a guy that can lead the offense. And it feels like they got it here. I think he's going to be a massive asset, especially in going fast, which could be huge for what Adam Fisher wants to do. We saw that kind of this year. And, you know, they did not like to milk the shot clock very much. They'd like to, when they had their opportunities, to go score. And I think he finally gives you that player that feels comfortable in a role like that, right? They tried to move Hysier Miller into that role, and it took him a while to get used to it, and it wasn't until the tournament that he really started to pop off and look comfortable. I think they finally found a guy that can be comfortable in that role from day one, and that's going to be huge building the roster almost around him, sort of, but, you know, tailoring it to what he's able to do now.
I think both of you guys kind of hit the nail on the head with just...
Thanks, man.
No problem. You mentioned all of last season, it was the, like, why is this offense struggling so much? They're so inefficient. It seems like nobody's comfortable to take that role and be the guy in the offense. And I think with Jamal, he's just going to come in, and that's exactly what he's going to want to do. He's going to want to come in, and he's going to be able to take those shots, lead the offense, and just be that guy that you're comfortable with the ball in his hands to take control.
You got you a guy that can fill that Hysier Miller role, and obviously, that's an important role. Look what, you know, Hysier did all of last season, and especially like Declan mentioned in the tournament. It was big finding a guy who can take that role and, you know, who could take that role and actually, you know, be successful in it.
We're going to play a part of my interview. Again, I had a chance to talk to him for 1.5 hour earlier today. Again, Al Scoop subscribers are going to have access to that full conversation. And he very much sounds like a guy who learned from a father who played in the league. You know, I felt like I was talking to somebody who was in his mid-30s. It was a true pleasure to talk to him. But that thumb injury really, when you get the chance to listen to the full interview, if you've not subscribed yet, great time to do it now.
What are you doing?
Exactly. They're going to be bringing some new players in. It's going to be, a busy and exciting time for the program and if you're a Temple basketball fan, with some new talent coming in. But he had the thumb injury, and he also had a thigh contusion, and he was really not healthy from, you know, late November on. You know, helped get the team to the NCAA tournament where they lost to Clemson. We talked a little bit about his injury, about, you know, just why things happened the way they did, and his recruitment. For those of you who are wondering if Kentucky reached out, yes, they did reach out. You know, his father played at Kentucky. Mark Pope did reach out. But it sounds like Temple got on him early. Adam Fisher visited him on Easter Sunday and went down there. And they got on him early and really kind of wrapped this all up. And he also comes across as somebody who is really not into making a top five list, a top 10 list. That comes across in the conversation. But again, had the chance to talk to him earlier today. And here's part of our conversation pertaining to his visit to Temple and why he chose Temple. First of all, what made you choose Temple out of the portal?
For me, I've dealt with my fair share of injuries this year and this past year, and I'm just looking for an opportunity to really just continue to develop my game into what I see fit. So a lot more pick and roll, a lot more just, you know, being able to make plays and decisions with the ball in my hands, you know, because just at the next level, I'm gonna have to be a combo guard or a point guard. So I just want to continue to funnel and work that part of my game. And Temple is a place where, you know, they show that we can do that and they can develop that for me. And I feel like I'm going to win a lot of games too.
What other schools were in the mix? I'm sure once you entered the portal, you probably had a ton of schools reaching out to you. Who else did you consider? Who else was in the mix?
I mean, it was just a ton, man. I mean, Temple was early. You know, they kind of were one of the main ones that kind of, I guess, stuck out for me. But I would say, you know, George Washington was in there, you know, as a consideration. Arkansas was in there. Kentucky, you know, they reached out and stuff. I had a lot of people reach out, but I was just trying to find the most genuine, most transparent group of coaches, and Temple was right on the money from day one. So
yeah, I guess how many people did you have asking you, oh, are you going to end up at Kentucky now with Mark Pope because your dad went there? Did you get a lot of that? Like, did they, when they reached out, was that the angle that they were trying to use there with you?
They wanted me for me. I mean, they, yeah, obviously my dad's name is in there and stuff like, yeah, that. He went there. That was his alma mater. But because they were interested in me because of, you know,
right,
my,
oh, of course, yeah,
stuff like that. So,
yeah,
but I mean, I'm not into all that pop and glitter. I mean, I want to just go to a place where I can lock in, focus, get better, and focus on the things that are important, rather than all the Instagram likes and posts and stuff like that, which is what was going to be surrounded by with Kentucky. Temple is somewhere where it's a business. You know, they're about the right things, and you know, as an organization and as a whole, they're just great people, and that's what I was looking for, just great people to be around and people that I can talk to and develop with.
Where does that perspective come from, Jamal? Because you don't hear that too much from today's recruit in 2024. It, like, a lot of, and I'm not even faulting them for that, but a lot of guys your age, they do like getting likes on Instagram and Twitter, and like, that's, you know, that's part of the process, but it's kind of rare to hear people say what you say. Where does that perspective and that wisdom come from?
Honestly, just experience. For me, I've gone through a lot of times this year where, you know, I've had to really dig in and believe in myself and have unwavering faith in my abilities, and all that Instagram stuff and all that extra, you know, all that other stuff, it's not there for you when you're at your lowest. You know, what's there for you at your lowest is God and yourself and your circle and the people that have been with you from day one. So I would say where that wisdom comes from is my dad. I mean, my dad, he's probably the wisest man on the planet. And he knows so much, and he's been through so much to where he can share with me things that I'm going through on this journey that he's also been through. So he's given me all the tools that that he's gone through as a 12-year pro and as just a man, you know, going through business and stuff like that. You know, he's my mentor. He's my partner. He's my best friend. He's my dad. You know, he's my biggest critic all in one. So that all comes from him, all of it, all of it.
Has he always been that type of person from the time you were in ninth grade? Because your recruitment started early. Has he always been that voice in your ear to tell you, like, hey, when you're picking a school, this is what you should be looking for?
Definitely. I mean, definitely. Even when it came down to picking a high school, it was a business then when I was in high school. I mean, not a lot of kids were making businesses in the ninth grade. But he put that jacket on me, and I was able to groom through that and learn. Because I was first at Gulliver Prep in Miami, Florida, for, you know, my first 2 years in high school. Then I made a decision to go to Brewster Academy for my junior and senior year.
Right.
And just in that decision, it just took a lot of, you know, everybody was wondering then, like, why the hell would he go to Brewster in New Hampshire and like these weird places? Like, why would he do that? And just, you know, I mean, everybody was wondering why, but I had a bigger picture in mind. You know, Brewster was able to give me kind of early college experience to be able to prepare for this level. So that was a business decision. So I feel like I've been making business decisions since I was, you know, in about the sixth grade, since I decided to play basketball. So
that relationship with Adam Fisher goes way back, right? Because wasn't he one of the first guys when he was on Jim Larranaga's staff and you were at Gulliver? Was he one of the first guys to offer you? Is that how far back your relationship with him goes?
I mean, yeah, it's far back for sure. I mean, he was you know, on that Larranaga staff, and even with Coach Huger, it goes way back with my family. You know, him and my dad, you know, they're both growing up in the New York City area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they played against each other, and
with that Gauchos team and stuff like that in the inner city New York. So there's a lot of connection, and there's a lot of full circle things that are, you know, circling, you know, right back to Temple. So I think, you know, everything is happening at the right time. I think everything is just, you know, falling in the right place.
Tell me about the, you know, the visit. I know it wasn't this past weekend, but the weekend before. Tell me about your visit, your official visit. When did you kind of know that you wanted to commit to Temple?
Oh man, first of all, the visit was just sensational. I mean, they gave me everything that I wanted to see, everything that I wanted to hear, and all the questions that I wanted to ask, they were able to answer in a transparent, genuine way. So, you know, I kind of knew once I got in the hotel, settled down in Philly, because again, it was my first time really in Philadelphia, you know, experiencing that whole city. The food there is amazing. It was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, when the visit wrapped up and I checked off all my boxes of questions I wanted to ask, questions my dad wanted to ask, you know, questions they wanted to ask. And man, they one thing about it, they're honest too, and that's what I was looking for, is honesty. You know, there's things in my game that I need to get better at and that I need to improve on. And you know, for my years of college, it's been kind of like, oh, like we're gonna hold you accountable, but we're not going to show you, or we're not going to put you in position to get better at it. And I feel like Temple, with Coach Fish, Coach Huger, and that staff, they're going to put all of our players, all of our Temple players, me included, in positions to be able to thrive in areas that we want to get better at, because they know that this is not our final destination playing. College is great, you know what I'm saying? Division I is great, but a lot of us are trying to do other things, you know, whether that be professional or business stuff. Like they're able to teach and show us and develop us in that way from the summer. So that's kind of important to me.
More great stuff. Again, if you have not yet subscribed to Al Scoop, now's the time to do it. You'll get access to my entire conversation with him. A lot of great insight into why he chose Temple, why he thinks his best basketball is ahead of him as he strives toward getting healthier. So a lot of cool stuff ahead there. We will, of course, talk more about this Temple men's basketball team in the mailbag. We have a lot of mailbag questions there, so we'll just address them directly in the mailbag to keep the men's basketball conversation going there. Women's hoops, in addition to the names that we had for you last week, Diane Richardson had another official visitor on campus this past weekend. Our very own Declan Landis reported that Temple had Alabama A&M guard Kayla Turner on campus over the weekend for an official visit. She was this year's SWAC Freshman of the Year, averaged 11 points per game. She started 29 of Alabama A&M's 31 games. We told you last week that Temple added Felicia Jacobs, a 6'2 forward from Great Britain. Also told you that former Pitt forward Rapalucci Ayadele, took an official visit to Temple last weekend, as well as former USC and Loyola Marymount forward Amaya Oliver. Diane Richardson sent out that very, very funny tweet signifying that they got a verbal commitment. So one of these players committed.
Well, two. So, Miles Jackson tweeted that two players have committed.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Yeah, two have committed. So yeah. We'll have news for you on that pretty soon. Again, we talked about the fact, Declan, that they need bigs. And we talked, I think, last week about needing a guard. We're not saying definitely that Kayla Turner is one of the players who committed, but sounds like they had an ascending player on campus who, you know, I think if you look at her shooting numbers, she was not afraid to take the three, missed a lot of them, didn't hit a high percentage, but somebody who's not afraid to take those shots. Again, we talked about some of the names last week that have visited. What do you think about just in general, what you're seeing in the portal in terms of like the players that they're pursuing and how they could help?
I do kind of want to say something about Kayla Turner, because we did talk about guards last week and if she committed, like what she could bring to the team. I saw some things on Twitter when I put the initial tweet out and I figured I'd save it for the podcast, but it was like, she shot, I think about 33.6% from the field last year. And people were like, oh, 33%. We don't want that. We don't want that. She was a freshman shooting 33% and like scoring at a high volume for a team that needed a score. Like she was the best freshman in the conference. Like she won that for a reason. That's somebody that you can take now at Temple and mold a little bit if she joins the team. Like I don't understand, you know, looking at numbers and you watch her film, she can generate her own shot, which is going to be key when, you know, you're losing Aaliyah Nelson, who was at times good at that. At her best, she was good at creating her own shot. You put her, if she commits, in a backcourt with Tristan Taylor and Tierra East. It just gets a little deeper. Now you've got a good second option coming off the bench. I don't understand how you don't want a player like that joining the team, quite frankly. So I think if they were able to land her as one of the two people that Kyle was talking about, that's a great addition. The front court additions would be huge as well. So depending on who those two of two are, I think it's some really good action in the portal right now for that team.
Yeah. So follow Declan Landis on Twitter. Follow Al Scoop for your most up-to-date men's and women's basketball recruiting coverage. Let's jump into the mailbag here, because again, this just gets right to the heart of a lot of what you guys want to know and are asking about. New England Al from our basketball message board for subscribers asks us, who are the priorities for Temple in the 2025 recruiting class? It's talking about basketball. I mean, Cam Wallace at West Ham. And some of the names that we were writing about last summer, KJ Cochran.
Keshawn Tillery.
They're recruiting Kai Shin Holster at Penn Charter. Those are some guards to keep an eye on. What other names am I forgetting?
Matt Gilhool.
I was going to say Devin Booker.
Yeah, but Devin Booker and Christo Ray. No, he's 2025. Matt Gilhool, who, I mean, he's taken visits to Syracuse. And
right.
I guess, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I would say Gilhool might be tough, but you know,
we also just named a couple guards that might be a little tough to get, but let's focus on Kyle's selection.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Kyle's taking it personally. A lot of names. And again, so much of this will, how many guys, I mean, these are guys that they have offered, how many guys they get. It will depend on, you know, fit, goals, NIL, all of that stuff. I mean, I know that, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, they wanted to hit the local scene and make a splash there. So again, all the guys that we've mentioned are fairly highly recruited guys, and we'll see. Again, we're coming up on a spring AAU season, summer as well. So those are some names to keep an eye on. We're not, you know, mentioning all of them, but in terms of priorities, you know, those are some definite names to look at. Temple fan Al asks us what other schools were recruiting Mashburn. You will hear this in the interview with him, but yeah, Kentucky reached out, George Washington, Arkansas, had some pretty good schools in the mix there. But like I said, Temple swooped in fairly early, and it sounded like he kind of knew by the time he got to Temple for his official visit that he was leaning in that direction. Mike TB31, also from our message boards, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate Aaron McKee versus Adam Fisher in terms of recruiting. Do you think Aaron would have pulled a kid like Jamal Mashburn? My answer to that is you never know, because Aaron could have had a pretty good relationship with Jamal Mashburn. Former NBA guys really, really respect Aaron.
Sixers legend Jamal Mashburn.
Yeah.
They traded for him.
He got traded, but he never played. That was
the he was like already retired, but they were like, he's an expiring contract, like, give it to him.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to say, like, I get it. Like, we've talked about this in previous podcasts. Adam Fisher probably has the mentality more to be a college basketball coach in 2024 than Aaron McKee does, who probably would have been a better college basketball coach in the early 2000s. I don't want to say that Aaron would not have been able to get him. I think that Fisher's relationship with him, going back to his being on Larrañaga's staff, getting out there and seeing him early, yes, I think that puts Adam Fisher. I think he's more likely to get him than Aaron McKee, but I wouldn't want to just immediately rule Aaron out of this. Right. But Kyle, I don't think
roster talent was ever Aaron McKee's issue. Like, I don't think there was problems getting talent on the roster. I think you see that with this offseason, where you got guys like Battle and Dunn and Jameel Reynolds, who are once again going to cash in on the open market. So I don't want to just immediately dismiss it. Like, Aaron McKee wouldn't have been able to recruit a guy like Jamal Mashburn, especially if there was a 5-year relationship there, like there was between, you know, Fisher and Mashburn. But It would have been challenging for him, but I don't think it would have been impossible.
Yeah. Kaleem Goodman, a message board screen name with the next question here. Names that you are hearing for bigs. We'll say this. I think after this week, it'll become apparent what they'll have in terms of their guard rotation, and then they will certainly, I don't want to say turn their attention to bigs, because again, they're this day in and day out, they're keeping an eye on the portal. These are some names that people already know about that are out there. If you just scan through Twitter, but you know, Kenny Poto, Wichita State, if you had a chance to watch him, he might be a possibility. We'll see Trey Edmonds, UTSA. It depends again, like the type of big you're looking for. Are you looking for like a guy who can play a little bit with his back to the basket, turn and shoot? That might be a little bit more like a Kenny Poto. Trey Edmonds at UTSA, Kelu Anya from Brown. Those guys are more guys that like try to run the floor, be rim protectors. Kelu Anya is kind of an intriguing option. 6'8", 215 at 30 blocks this year. Kiri Huey from Idaho State, was a JUCO player before he ended up there. Those are just four names. I will tell you that the bigs picture will probably become a little bit clearer next week. Kyle, would you say?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would think that, you know, not that I think we're tipping too many hands here, but I would think that the backcourt roster situation is pretty much finalized in the next, you know, 3, 4, or 5 days. So at that point, you can kind of just solely focus on frontcourt guys. I also don't think this is going to happen again this year, but it's a friendly reminder that last year they didn't have their starting center until June, July. Like Sam Hoffman wasn't here until, like, he hadn't committed to Temple until middle of the summer. So,
yeah.
Is that a Kyle projectile?
I like
that.
What's
the sound of the Kyle?
I like that because I thought of that. So I like that.
I keep saying this. If we have solid, well-sourced recruiting news, we are going to drop it on our basketball message board
right first.
There's a reason why we keep teasing to the board, because our subscribers pay for this information. If you have subscribed to Owlscoop, excuse me, you have an idea of, you know, a couple of the other guards that we're talking about here, where you can potentially expect some announcements this week. And again, like Kyle said, you probably get a better, clearer picture of the backcourt by the end of the week. Then they will, of course, have to shift their attention to not just one, probably two bigs. Those are a few names to look at, not the only ones. Next mailbag question here comes from the screen name Temple Owls alum 1620. From your views, is Mashburn Jr.'s commitment more of a result of increased NIL funding over the last 2 months, or the staff's ability to recruit? Trying to decipher from your opinions whether this is the caliber of recruits we can and should expect if NIL continues to grow, or if this is strictly Fisher and his staff. Kyle, I'll tip this one over to you.
I want to say both, because taking a step back, this was not a situation where Temple said, here's $750,000, please come here, Jamal Mashburn. That did not happen. This was not a situation where Temple went out and bought a player. But NIL has gotten better to the point that Temple can be in conversations with players, and NIL isn't immediately like a non-starter for some players. If this recruitment happened 2 years ago, and Temple was like, hey, here's $3,800 and a SEPTA token was the best we can offer from NIL, then like, yeah, that probably prevents them from being in a lot of conversations with a lot of players. But
it's the original SEPTA token.
If it ever comes down to just NIL, like just strictly bottom line, Temple's probably not getting that player. Like if this was a strictly NIL, like Jamal Mashburn wanted his son to get the most money, he'd be at Kentucky. He'd be at Arkansas. He'd be somewhere else. Instead, he's at Temple due to a combination of those two. Yes, Temple's NIL has gotten better. Still has a lot of room to improve. But in the end, I think a lot of this still just came down to relationships and the fact that this is a five-year recruitment that's finally paying off for Adam Fisher.
Yeah, brilliantly answered. Couldn't say any better myself. Fig one is the next mailbag question here. And this might be our last one. I'll double-check Twitter to see if we got anything there. Any quarterback recruits on the radar? Staying with quarterback, is it really wide open, or is there a top two going into the summer? So again, we talked about this heavily on last week's podcast. If you didn't get the chance to listen to it,
it's good.
And you're a Temple football fan, yeah, solid episode.
Yeah, it's a good episode. Real good. Go check it out. Good. Good check it out.
No, but I think we did. We did take all of you inside, like looking at each of these quarterbacks. Like why, for example, you don't automatically rule out like a Patrick Keller, what it would take for a Tyler Douglas to kind of maybe work his way into the mix there. I do not personally have any reputable names I could put out there for quarterback recruits on the radar. Do I think that they are scanning the portal for another quarterback? Yes, they absolutely are. I think they're looking defensive line. We should say that since we last recorded, Jason Moore entered the portal. I mean, they literally just made him available to reporters a couple weeks ago.
Not only that, Coach Beckwith kept talking about how he just made drills look so easy, and he was a big part of stepping up in that room. And then all of a sudden, he
talked about it too much. Some other program caught on to it.
The interesting thing now is, like some guys, and Jason Moore, look, I mean, I'm not judging for it, but he clearly is just looking for the best NIL situation out there. I mean, he was here. He talked about how much he liked the coaching staff, loved the opportunity. We're living in interesting times where I don't know what, like, if a guy like a Jason Moore enters the portal, what sort of quote unquote film he's putting out there to say, this is what I did in the spring. And again, coaches talk to each other, and good coaches are not going to try to like be backhanded and try to like speak ill of somebody when you don't do that. Like, that will catch up with you in recruiting. So, I mean, I wish Jason Moore the best, but because of that, they'll probably look back at adding another defensive lineman or two. Again, if you follow Kyle's, roster grid. It's not called your roster grid.
Scholarship board.
Thank you, Jason.
Okay.
They're at 81 now, Kyle.
We can spruce up that name. Like, if you guys have a better name, or if you want to sponsor the scholarship board, please let me know. Or if come with a cooler name.
Greenspan and Greenspan.
The scholarship board brought to you by Greenspan and Greenspan Injury Lawyers.
Looking at you.
I believe it's 81. Let's check.
Did a story on the guys that have left. A lot of these names were, most of them were to be expected. I mean, like Caleb Barnett, that was a speed guy, relatively new to football. You're hoping that maybe he can develop, but he's in the portal. Corey Crosscut Palmer dropped. We talked about that throw that Patrick Keller made in the spring game that was nicest, most, I guess, probably the best run ball of the day. And Corey Palmer dropped that. He's in the portal. Sam Martin, they lose a guy that returned a kickoff for a touchdown. Probably was really not going to be in the too deep for safety. Declan, the Kyle Williams era over.
Crazy.
Before it started.
Makes sense, though.
Something never quit.
I mean, he's a talented guy. I mean, it's disappointing in the sense that he was a very good player. Harrisburg High
School. He could have been good, but if you're not clicking with the program, you know, and the program's not clicking with you, that's why they got the portal.
And he
fumbled. But hey, don't cry because it's over, Declan. Laugh because it happened.
You're right. Leave those memories alone, Kyle.
But like Chevy Trask, kudos to him for making like the in season changes to other positions where they needed them, but couldn't stick on either side of the line. Like, I'd say of the guys that have left in the past couple days to weeks, it's probably looking like Jason Moore might have been the only one that had a chance to really start, and the rest are kind of just, they're looking for better opportunities.
Yeah. Ramir, I'm going to tip this one over to you for the second part of this question. Anything else you want to add? Is it really wide open a quarterback, or do you think they're, let's say they add nobody. Let's say they add somebody, but it's clearly a depth guy who is not going to come in here in August and just blow their socks off and win the job. As of now, is there a top two going into the summer?
Forrest Brock is definitely number one.
So you feel even a week later, you still feel pretty solidly like he's the number one guy right now.
Yes. And Evan Simon is definitely number two.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that, what's his name? Patrick Keller is three and Tyler Douglas is four. But, you know, you had mentioned the last time, like Tyler Douglas might not be a good practice player. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you never know. But right now, I think Forrest Brock is one and Evan Simon is two. Maybe that changes when Evan Simon learns the playbook and gains more confidence, like within the system and within the scheme. But right now, it's definitely Forrest Brock.
One of the things that maybe we didn't to kind of just like move this one forward and then get to the last question from Twitter, which I must do with Johnny. Have fun with this one. We touched on it maybe a little bit last week, but not as much. Obviously, what's going to draw attention is Stan Drayton said, I don't think any of my guys are ready yet for the opener. But he also kind of couched it in saying, like, they're not learning an easy offense.
Yeah.
You know, this is, it sounds like, I think, you know, he said it. I don't know if Danny Langsdorf said it, but, like, obviously there are some things that they had to do to tailor the offense to E.J. Warner. Now there are some things that they can do with this offense that E.J. couldn't do. Again, we are not taking shots at E.J. on the way out, threw for a ton of yards, completed a lot of passes, but it sounded like he was saying, like, how do you, it, you know, when you have a couple weeks to reflect on it, there's the eye test piece of it, which we saw. We talked about how what you can take and not take from the spring game. Based on what you saw, and then, like, hearing Stan Drayton say, like, yeah, none of the guys are ready, but there's still a lot of time. Like, how concerned did he sound to you guys after the spring game when talking about the quarterbacks?
Not at all. Like, to us, the words themselves, like, sound concerning, but it sounds like he also knows that there's a ton of time for them to figure out and get someone ready, or for someone to prove that they are ready. So I don't think he was too concerned at all with it, because he knows that they have a ton of days until it's actually time to play.
Yeah.
But then the flip side of it is, it really can't hurt you to try and go get a veteran guy that comes in and tries to compete with them and maybe pushes them a little more. So even if you aren't super concerned, like, it can't hurt to at least put a flyer out there and see if you can't bring somebody in to either potentially go for that starting spot, or even just push the guys that are already there and maybe get somebody like Forrest Brock or Evan Simon to that next level.
Or
because they're
maybe
big on competition.
Maybe knowing that he was about to get burned by Jason Moore, maybe Stan Drayton said, I'm going to talk down about my current quarterback so I can sell that to a future quarterback that's coming in. But in reality, they're both going to compete for the Heisman.
In other words, Stan Drayton is playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers.
Hey, you know, that's why they're paying the big bucks.
We're Stratego.
Stratego.
Or Candyland.
Candyland.
Settlers of Catan.
Candyland's the worst game of all time. Like, it's
that's a thing.
It's so bad.
I think Monopoly is the worst game of all time.
I mean, I'm not, like, trying to staunchly defend it, but that's just a very passionate take.
When was the last time you played Candyland? Because I have a 4-year-old. I've played Candyland in the past couple months.
Yeah,
it's a terrible game. There's no luck to it. There's no skill to it. It's just drawing cards. Oh, I go into the green one. Here I go green. Oh, I'm going to the orange one. Here I go. It's predetermined before the first card's even drawn. Who's gonna win?
The Candyland DVD game. Oh, we used to have that back in the day. Oh, it's a whole other experience.
I didn't even know that.
Do yourself a favor.
I'll see if I can find a DVD player. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
They got to be pretty cheap on Amazon. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, not a high demand, so you'll probably be all right.
Monopoly in the gal's house gets contentious. My wife stopped playing it because we used to play it every Thanksgiving, and it would get angry. And then my wife said, like, we got to stop playing this, and we stopped playing it. My brother and I are very competitive.
Monopoly got contentious. We played a lot during COVID, and I don't know. Chelsea would get upset with me when I would get, like, these higher priced properties, and then, like, she'd land on them, and then the game would be over. I'd be like, that is literally the point of the game.
That's the point of the game. Correct. It's like, yes, we've reached the end game of this game.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what else she wanted.
I believe you turned Chelsea into a socialist. She's just like, well, I want to redistribute the wealth.
We should all be living on Mediterranean.
Have you ever played Bonanza?
Like, named after, like, the show?
Hi, everybody. Declan Landis here. Bonanza? Have you ever played Bonanza?
It's the bean game. It's a fun game. Shout out Bonanza.
Bonanza sounds like a stereotypical, like, asshole quarterback in, like, a TV show. Look at that. It's Bonanza over there.
I'm pretty sure
that is.
I'm pretty sure
you'll never beat him out.
I'm pretty sure the Dillon Panthers took them down in season 3.
I think they lose in season 3, I believe.
Like, Sean Astin is in this reboot of an 80s football.
They lose Saracen comes in at quarterback in, like, the second half after JT.
Yeah,
because
it's JD, right?
Yeah, after JD sucks. JD McCoy sucks, gets benched at half, but he can't come back fully, and they lose.
Right.
And he goes and comes,
and then,
like, an
that's when they force Coach Taylor out.
Well,
That's a
they
great
combine the
show.
te is that when they combine the teams, or is that the next year? When does Michael B. Jordan come in?
I think that's season four.
That might be season four when they do East West.
Because then he recruits Michael B.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
The whole
that's
other
a
thing
great show.
is a great show. We have one more
Temple
question.
makes a cameo.
Yeah,
Yeah,
last
Temple does.
question here.
Temple makes a cameo of a season five.
They do?
Yeah.
The not the university, the physical university does. They recorded
Like the
as us.
campus does.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's not Russell Conwell.
Well,
That'd be crazy though. What a
Russell
plot
Conwell's
twist.
still alive.
What a plot twist.
Acres and acres of
His
diamonds.
face, like the statue of his head just rises. No. Like, oh, it's Russell
What?
Conwell, what do you think of this?
Boy. Last question here from the Twitter handle Big Five Plus One.
Great
Is
account.
it more chaotic to be a bat boy or keep up with the transfer portal?
Wait,
Johnny
Big Five
Sears
Plus
Live.
One sent us a question?
Yes.
That's awesome. I love Big Five Plus One.
Well, wait a minute,
Johnny,
but
let's
Drexel's in the
see.
Big Five now. Shouldn't they change their name?
Big Five.
City Six.
City Six plus zero.
Plus Jefferson.
Plus Jefferson.
Is it more chaotic to be a bat boy or keep up with the transfer portal? Only one man can answer this question, and it
I feel
is
like I
Johnny
can answer
Zwizlak.
this.
Wait, do you bat boy?
Kyle said
I don't know if
yes.
you know this actually, but I am the visiting team bat boy for the
That's
Philadelphia
crazy.
Phillies.
And no
Spring
idea.
Forward.
No
And
idea.
I went to Spring Forward.
That's awesome.
I would say the actual job, like during the game of being a bat boy, is pretty straightforward. It's not really that chaotic. It's oh, bat on ground, pick it up and put it back.
So,
But
hold on to thumb guard.
not a little bit more than that, though,
I
right?
got something
I
to say,
mean,
but I'll let
do cool
Johnny finish.
trick. Do cool trick.
Thank you, Kyle. That's actually like new for you.
But
I'm not used to it. Can
I'm
you let me
setting
finish?
you up. I'm setting you up to bring you further down. So please keep going.
Okay, now I'd rather you just go.
I have been to a college summer league baseball game where a golden retriever served, like performed your job well at that. Like it was like a the bat hits the ground, the dog goes and gets the bat, everyone keeps playing.
Did the dog grab the elbow pads and arm pads and thumb guards from the player when he was on the base?
If
How many
he was
cheese
trained to
sticks
do
did the
so, I'm sure they could knock that out in like a weekend. Like
dog? Are you
with like
sure? Are you sure?
10 to 12 milk bones, I'm
You think the
pretty
dog?
10 to 12 milk bones, and they could train the dog to go also pick up
But
thumb guard.
you think that with how is the dog holding all of
this
this?
clearly
With
struck
its
a nerve.
teeth, Johnny.
Somebody
What do you
said
mean?
something.
How's it
Wait,
doing this?
You think a
Kyle,
dog
do you
can
think
hold
Johnny has an attitude problem?
Yeah,
A hand
I'm
pad,
saying.
an elbow pad, a knee pad, and a bat.
But we're gonna go
Lucky
thumb
the
guard.
golden
And the thumb
retriever.
guard.
Lucky the golden retriever wouldn't give me as much guff about this. Lucky the
What'd you
golden
say,
retriever
Kyle?
wouldn't be back talking so much about this. He would just go and do his job. Instead, I gotta
Kyle,
deal with your.
do you think Johnny has an attitude
Well, yeah,
problem?
you just addressed it right there with that answer.
Like what are we doing here?
I'm just saying. That's why I said I was literally gonna say the actual job during the game is not that chaotic, so I would say the transfer portal.
But
But
yeah,
the
but
other
like
stuff that
you
comes
bring
with the
the you
job.
bring the job home with you, right? It's really stressful. You come home, you just wail on the wall and yell at your kid. Is that what you're going to tell me? Like it's just a hard job. The actual job itself isn't
That's
that much,
if you
but
come home at all.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was gonna say, Kyle. You really hit the nail on the head. You know, it, this is I lay awake at night every night,
I was
since
also
you're gonna
going to
have to hug
say,
it out.
if you were going to like really reinforce, like, okay, no, this is a hard job, blah, blah, I was going to then spin it to be like, well, that's fair because you don't cover the transfer portal. So, like, I was just going to either get it one way or the other.
Yeah,
But
I see. I knew that you were gonna set it up either way because it was. I mean, it was setting me up for failure.
versatile joke, got layers. Well
yeah.
done.
It's a choose your own adventure for the wrapping up of this week's episode.
Better than Candyland.
Page 76, we question your work ethic.
Declan,
Did you guys have?
when you did choose your own adventure books, did you keep your thumb on it to go
Oh
back in
yeah, I
pages?
did both options every time.
You like to see which of the
Just
better
which one
was?
was better.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't
exactly.
even know that the Choose Your Own Adventure lived on to like your
Oh
generation. You
yeah.
guys would have
Oh
those
no, they were
books.
old books. They were definitely old books.
It was really
About
disheartening when you would
Watergate.
make the wrong choice. You could you could tell you were in trouble
Go to
when you would
page
choose
56 to play
like, well, like you go to
the
play the tapes.
tapes.
you'd be like, go to page 78. You would turn to page 78 and you would see a lot of white space at the bottom.
Yeah,
and at
died.
The top, it'd be like, you have chosen poorly. You've made a right at the fork and there are 12 soldiers there to where you meet your untimely demise, the end. You're like, ah.
Jesus.
And sometimes
what sorry, what choose your adventure you'd books like, were you reading? Like the Battle of Antietam? What was this?
The Battle of Antietam. So it was a collector's edition. Anyway, so Johnny, anything? I mean, Kyle, you guys just sparred on that a little bit.
Yeah, fight
you
back.
Want to close things out.
No, I mean,
Johnny, every time you come back and you get a paycheck, do you pour a little out for Dustin Baker's kid? To give the background on that, it used to be that children did your job. And then Dusty Baker's son, who was about 5 years old, almost got run over at the plate, like during like an actual game. And they said, we have to start having adults be bat boys because of that. So every time you get a little money.
You should ask Claire about that. Ask Claire Smith about that.
I will.
Yeah. I want to say it was JT Snow or Rich Aurelia, like picked him up at home plate. Like, they slid in and they picked up Dusty Baker's son because he was about to get like flattened.
Yeah, that was crazy.
What if Bryce or Nick Castellanos has to do that this year?
Nick Castellanos would put a shoulder into the chest.
Oh no, he'd be in the they can't. They would be in the field.
Give you a drop kick.
Yeah. They would be in the field. Nick Castellanos would have a bizarre reason to be coming in from right field just to pick up the Johnny. Very true.
This is my moment. This is it.
I had actually more to think about that. Forget Liam. Save Johnny.
What?
Jesus.
Liam's a song.
I got that.
Liam is at home doing all the makeup homework for all the games that he missed during last fall. All the days of school that he missed. He's doing his multiplication tables.
Is he homeschooled?
He might be. How do we bring this one back home, guys?
Caleb Battle visiting Kansas State.
I saw that.
Yeah.
What's the city for Kansas State, Johnny?
Why am I on blast here?
I don't.
Kansas City.
No. It is a borough.
You would think
it's a borough of New York.
It's a noteworthy name.
Noteworthy name.
Oh, I know it.
It's one of the five boroughs of New York.
Johnny, where are the five boroughs of New York?
You're asking me?
No, Johnny. What are the five boroughs of New York?
You name the five boroughs of New York.
Utica.
No, stop it. Let him answer.
Albany.
Why am I quiz here?
I just said Albany.
Long Island.
Johnny, what is the borough?
It's a thing a groundhog makes.
Spare. I should have been more specific. That's called a
Mama Landis. Not going to be a fan of this closeout on this episode. Shh.
Sorry, buddy.
Five boroughs of New
York. Why are we? Isn't this episode over?
Just a little trivia.
The trivia is supposed to be at the beginning of the episode.
Well,
we're
the
a little trivia. Trivia bookends here.
We're pulling rank now.
Five boroughs of New York.
Johnny, there is a gunman. Johnny, there's a gunman in my house. He won't let me leave unless you can name the five boroughs of New York.
Oh, so good luck. Well, Kyle.
See you, boss.
He's coming to take Kyle back to Ohio. If you don't answer this question,
that's a good circle back.
Thank you.
Listen,
Indiana, last
week's episode. Not Ohio.
Yeah, I was going to let it go. I was going to let it go entirely because I play favorites. So I was going to let Declan's go.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle.
All right, three boroughs of New York. Can you name three of the five?
One borough of New York.
Can you name one? You know, I swear you know one.
You know one.
Where do the Yankees play?
Oh, that's like Manhattan, Brooklyn.
Yeah, keep
and,
going.
And no.
Three more.
One more.
Three more.
You run a roll.
I mean, there are three more.
Manhattan, Brooklyn.
Where do the Yankees play?
No.
I actually don't know.
It starts with a B. Ends with an X.
Buffalo.
Bronx.
Right? Not Kings,
Queens.
There you go.
And
I don't know
the King of Blank. It was a movie.
Ah,
no, we just see you just said it.
No,
no, nope.
Oh, the King
not
of
the movie.
Blank. Pete Davidson.
Movie, not the TV show.
Oh, whoa. Sorry.
Oh no,
not Kevin James.
Starring Kevin James, switching roles.
Pete Davidson.
Did he say? Oh, okay. I know that last one.
Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, and
two words.
Oh no,
Pete Davidson. No, it's two words.
I can't think of it.
Island.
Boy.
Blank not Island.
Which that's Long that Island? Could mislead him. That know. Could mislead him. Telling him Blank Island.
Not Long Island.
Okay.
Begins with an S. Then a T.
Rhymes with
Carlo.
Staten
Island.
Staten Island. Yes.
We did it.
But of the five New York boroughs, which one is where Kansas State is?
I forgot that's how this started.
Let's use your well, like, do we honestly think that Kansas State is in Staten Island, Kansas?
That'd be awesome.
No.
Manhattan? I
don't Manhattan, know.
There
Kansas. There we go.
There you go. My guy's a clutch time go. Player. He comes through.
Yeah.
that was so
I was about to say
something. My guy's a clutch time player. Johnny's rattled.
Clutch time player.
These two have got to have it out.
I feel like these last like 10 minutes has been my worst time on the scoop.
Let's not be no, bad.
Declan, new segment going forward in the beginning is I want you to have like, it's essentially to be, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Where I want you to take like relatively simple things that you think Johnny doesn't know and we'll quiz him on it.
We might be here all day.
This is brutal.
The biggest takeaway from this for me, the biggest takeaway from this will be me will be what does Declan think Johnny doesn't know? So like, will Declan be like, what would you call this fruit? As he holds up like a kumquat, and he's like, Johnny, what would you call this? Or like, is it going to be more like, let's talk Industrial Revolution? Like, I don't know. I'd like to see which way Declan goes.
I guess I just have to tune in next week.
Johnny's so defeated right now.
I guess you'll have to tune in next week. We'll call it Zawiz Stats.
Yes. We love you, buddy. I'm sorry. What are the chances of you returning to Al Scoop?
I don't go back till next Thursday. So,
all right, so scale 1 to 10 right now.
So what I'm saying is I'd be here for the scoop.
What's the probability of you returning for the scoop next week after what Kyle just put you through?
I'd say like 3%.
Well, I will say that if you don't show up for Zawiz Stats, that you are just admitting that you don't know whatever Declan prepared. So, gotta defend
so
your
you're
honor
saying
here, buddy.
I have to be.
Oh, you don't have to do anything. You could just go 0 for 5 when he makes you name colors of the rainbow. Like,
does that mean we're finally getting rid of the famous number segment?
Yeah.
I'll do it for the greater good.
I also don't hate the idea of every week Johnny himself presents something to us. Like he does research on a topic and he gives us a 3-minute PowerPoint.
I kind of like that better actually. Yeah. And then that's the Wiz Stats.
But like, does he think of it on his own, or do we do it every previous week? We give him a topic.
I'm just doing homework every week before I come onto the scoop and creating a presentation.
What about stay with me on this?
You don't do homework.
Did you guys do dioramas growing up?
Like, what do you mean?
Like a little shoebox thing?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What about one of those? It's like go to Michael's.
Am I getting reimbursed for like the glue and all the stuff I gotta buy to make?
Sure.
Sure. I mean, how much?
If you make a diorama, absolutely, I will reimburse you for it.
Yes, I agree with Kyle. If you take the time to run to like a Michael's or some sort of local craft,
Joann Fabric.
Yes, and or why not both? And you make a diorama, Kyle and I will reimburse you.
Like I will want to see. System. I will want to see receipts balls. Though. What was the other one? Mobiles? Yeah. Mobiles? Was that the other one they made us with like the hangers and you got to do like.
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. I remember that.
Yeah,
that was
I'll give you multiple topics. Seats. You can choose the War of 1812, Frederick Douglass, or women's suffrage. I want a diorama on one of those three.
Which you pick it.
Find out next week. Well. Thank you all. God bless you for staying with us till the end of the episode. If you have, we will have much more news for you next week in the way of transfer portal updates, men's and women's basketball, any football stuff to pass along, more interviews. Fun time to be a Temple fan. Thanks again for subscribing to The Scoop. If you haven't subscribed to owlscoop.com, again, to get all the latest information, the interviews with players like Jamal Mashburn.
What are you doing?
Exactly.
What are you doing?
Thanks for listening to another episode. We will talk to you next week.